Well, we're looking at the life of David. He's the greatest king of Israel. He was not the greatest king because he's the longest lived or the most powerful or the richest, but as the Bible says, he was a man after God's own heart. It was David's single-minded pursuit of the things of God which marked him out as Israel's greatest king. And that was despite all his imperfections. I actually find David's imperfections encouraging in a sort of way because we know we're far from perfect and the Lord uses us. So here we are in this place. It's the Valley of Elah. And if you know the geography of Israel, it's partway between Jerusalem and the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip is where there's lots of trouble nowadays. Hamas are in control of the Gaza Strip. That is Philistine territory right next to the Mediterranean Sea. And in this time, go back, please. Have him in a minute. I'll press the button. On one side of the valley was the Israelite army. On the other side was the Philistine army. And day after day, out comes this guy, Goliath, and he's enormous. And I've tried to convey a picture of how big he was, and here we are, this chap here. He's the largest, tallest person that there are records for. His name was Robert Wadlow, and he was 8 foot 11.1 inches, or 2.72 meters tall, which is really quite tall, isn't it, really? And Goliath, with his helmet, was probably a bit bigger even than that. And he shouts at the Israelite army, and this is what he shouts. Goliath stood and shouted, "Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not the servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he's able to fight and kill me, we'll become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." And this wasn't uncommon in ancient warfare. Instead of both sides battling it out with a consequential, terrible loss of life, you pick your best person, we'll pick our best person, and we'll have single combat, and the winner takes all. And the Israelites are terrified. They are terrified. And you might think that actually this has nothing much to say to us today because we don't face this kind of battle most of the time. None of us, I'm sure, have ever done that. But actually, I think you'd be wrong if you thought it had nothing to say to us today. Last week, we looked at David as chosen and anointed, how everyone who knows and loves the Lord Jesus is chosen and can be anointed by the Spirit. We're going to discover this week that David, in this particular instance, is an example to us as well. Here he's facing an enemy. Now, God intends every person to be a David in the way that we face our enemies and fight our battles. And I think when I last talked about this quite a few years ago, I said this, and I think it's worth saying again. The Lord intends us to fight the battles he gives us in the way he intends us to fight them so we become the people he intends us to be. He intends us to fight the battles he gives us in the way he intends us to fight them so we become the people he intends us to be. Because the reality is that I think every single person in this room is probably facing a battle one way or the other in some department of our lives. And the only issue is how are we going to fight the battle? So I thought I'd ask a few questions. Maybe some of these occurred to David when he went into this particular battle. Let's ask some of these questions. Question one, why do we need to fight battles at all? And the reason we need to fight battles is because there's a pattern in the kingdom of God whereby you've got the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. And often life is a battle. It's not a walk in the park, is it? We face challenges and difficulties in our lives. And you might say, well, why does God allow this to happen? Well, it's not because he doesn't care for us. The point is that God is in the business of transforming us. Do you remember it says in 2 Corinthians 3, transforming us from one degree of glory to another. And he does this, by nice things happening to us, by a wonderful marriage. We had a wonderful wedding here yesterday, and the birth of a child, and a good friendships, and being part of a great church, and a fulfilling career maybe, above all by meeting with Jesus so he can transform us. Yes, but actually, what you find time and time again is that people are transformed by challenges. Because life can be tough at times. There's no point in denying this one. It's tempting when you're faced with this kind of challenge to shout at God, why are you allowing this to happen? But actually, one of the reasons why God allows challenges and battles for us to face is because he's in the business of changing us. And sometimes that can only happen in the midst of battle. What does the writer of the Hebrews say? Endure hardship as discipline, he says. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who've been trained by it. The kind of challenge that David faced and the kind of challenge that you and I face is not random. Often we wish we didn't want to fight these battles, but God somehow, in his goodness, allows them. And he allows them so that we can be transformed from the people that we are to the people God wants us to be. What the writer of the Hebrews calls a harvest of righteousness. Now remember, David had a big future ahead. He was going to be a military leader. He was going to be king. He had to be able to command the loyalty of his troops. This was a key moment. Everyone was looking at him. The nation was looking at him. And the Lord put this battle in front of him. And the Lord puts battles in us to give us experience, to toughen us up, to refine us, and to strengthen us, prepare us for what he has for us. One thing I would say, though, is we need to fight the battles that the Lord puts before us. Okay? David arrives, and Goliath was asking for a fight, and David took it up. We're not meant to go out looking for a fight, but let's not shrink from it when it comes. Okay, next question. What is the true nature of the battle? Well, you might think this is pretty obvious, isn't it? Here's David and Goliath, a couple of armies there. That's the true nature of the battle. It looks like a conventional battle, actually a battle for territory and control. Actually, it's not like that. It's not like that. It's not just a battle between two armies. It was a battle between the army of God and the army of Satan. Not only because of they were different nationalities and one was God's people and one wasn't. But actually, because one stood for the worship of the true God and the other one stood for worshipping of the Canaanite deities and the Philistine deities. Now, this is a family show, so I'm not going to tell you what Canaanite and Philistine religion was like, but it was disgusting. It was just disgusting. And you can see that David understood the nature of the battle by his response. He says, he asked the man standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel?" This man insulting the armies of Israel, the armies of the Lord. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He should define the armies of the living God. He saw it was a spiritual battle, God versus Satan. He understood he was on the God side, and he knew who he was really opposing. He was fighting for the living God. He was fighting against those who opposed the living God. And things haven't changed. They haven't changed in 3,000 years. What does Paul say in Ephesians 6? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Now, the thing about spiritual battles is they often have a physical manifestation. So you can focus on the physical manifestation, but actually, the real battle is the unseen battle. And that means that we have to fight spiritual battles in a way that is different from an ordinary physical battle. But let's realize that we're in a battle. It's bound to happen. The Lord lets it happen for our good and realize the nature. It's a spiritual battle. Okay, so how do we fight the battle? Which weapons has God put in your hand? David had to be the person God made him to be. We need to be the people that God has made us to be, not somebody else. So the first thing that happened was that Saul gave him his armor. And the interesting thing, did you notice, Saul didn't use his own armor and go and fight Goliath. Isn't that interesting? He sends out a teenager, for crying out loud. But David put this stuff on and thought, this is not what God wants. This is not me. So he took it all off. He was a shepherd boy. He chose his staff and 5 smooth stones from the brook. You know, when we're fighting battles, it's easy to wish we were somebody else. Somebody else with other people's gifts and experience and skills. But it's no good putting on other people's armor. We need to put on the armor God has given us. We need to be the people God made us to be. Remember, the Lord intends us to fight the battles he gives us in the way he intends us to fight them, so we become the people he intends us to be. So all he needed was the weapons he knew how to use. Now actually, when you saw the video, it did look really pretty scary. But actually, we know from the end of the story that actually that it was a bit more weighted in David's favor than you would have thought. He used a slingshot. This is not a child's toy. This is, can you see? This is, those are Palestinians demonstrators. That photograph was taken in November 2018. And if you look at these, Palestinian demonstrators down by the Gaza Strip and along the West Bank, the border with the West Bank, when they're demonstrating against the Israeli Defense Force, they often use slingshots. And these slingshots are fast. They are fast. When you swing them around your head, the stones come out at 35 meters a second, which is actually 126 kilometers an hour. That's as fast as a fast bowler, or as fast as a you know, somebody serving at Wimbledon, you know, the top male tennis players at Wimbledon. Added to which, he picked them up from the Valley of Elah. Now, the Valley of Elah, the stones in the Valley of Elah, are not regular stones. They're barium sulfate. And that means they're twice as hard as ordinary stones. I was sharing about this at the 8 o'clock service, and Jeff Hall, who used to be involved in the building trade, told me he once had to build a building for the Ministry of Defense, which had to be specially tough. And he built this with stone, barium stone, because it's really, really, really strong. So when this thing went out of David's sling, it was the equivalent of the density of a 45 millimeter handgun. It was like being shot in the head. That's what happened. But it wasn't a cinch, was it? I mean, what happened in the video, it's very interesting. If only Goliath had put his shield down, he could have fended all these off, but he just got too big for his boots. He thought he was the big guy. He was the big Goliath. Nobody could touch him, so he threw his shield away, and then he was a sitting duck. He was a sitting duck. But actually, of course, David wasn't just using a slingshot. Because as Paul says in Ephesians 6, we need to fight a spiritual battle with spiritual weapons and put on the full armor of God. And the first thing he needed was faith. This is what he says. He says to the Philistine, Goliath, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin. I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. All those gathered here will know that it's not by sword or spear the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." You see, David had faith. He knew it was God's battle. God had put David there. He trusted God to do the business, and that's faith, isn't it? That's faith and courage. So he knew the Lord was in control. And he'd been in situations like that before, of course. He talks about rescuing sheep from wild animals. I suspect it was still scary. Don't you think he was scared? I felt scared looking at that little guy in the video, you know. It looks easy now because we know the ending of the story. Okay, but the Israelites were terrified. The Israelite army were quaking as they watched this unfold. Somehow I feel the Israelites army is a lot of the church quaking before the world. Come across that? But David's courage doesn't talk about spiritual courage, physical courage, it's about spiritual courage. But as well as being full of faith, he was full of boldness. Now, what is boldness? A lot of people think that boldness means I'm just not scared. That is not boldness, that is folly. All right. Boldness doesn't mean you're not scared. Boldness means you do it even though you're scared. That's what boldness was. And I'm sure that David was scared. So he had courage and faith, and he had boldness. And the third thing he had was he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Remember, this is a spiritual battle. And what had happened after Samuel had anointed him, the previous chapter? Samuel took the horn of oil, anointed him in the presence of his brothers. From that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. David needed the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So friends, we don't all have 9-foot giants in our daily life. But some of the battles we're in are just as intimidating. Remember, the Lord allows us to fight these battles, to refine us and discipline us. But as we go into battle for the Lord, and we need to fight only the Lord's battles, but when we fight the Lord's battles, remember, pick up the weapons he's given us. Faith that the Lord is in charge, boldness to fight the battle, and the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit. And then we'll find the battle is won even before it begins. Amen. Amen.